Five, four, three, two, one. You are listening to the Mango Tea Podcast with Jody and DK.
We are a nonpartisan Jamaican and Caribbean podcast for the diaspora. We give you tea with a slice of mango and information on current events, politics and politics, finance, sports, and culture. We created this podcast for the diaspora to know what's happening in the Caribbean beyond the gossip. Welcome to a new episode of Mango Tea Podcast, episode 51. And I think this is going to be 51 this time. Today, we have a very, very special and illustrious guest because we only give you nothing but illustrious guests. We have Jerrain from Abortion JA. Welcome, Jerrain.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about what's going on here.
Yes, because there is... Jamaica is, if you have a Jamaican friend, a family member, send them some money, send them a virtual hug, send them everything, because Jamaica is really, really going through it between the data breaches, the COVID numbers, and now the abortion conversation is back, front and center. Jamaica is really, there's no vaccine. Well, not yet. They got the five doses. They got the five. The people are still bandmining Auntie Mia, and you know that anything against Auntie Mia will never prosper, but here we are. Here we are.
You know that meme where the dog is sitting there and the place is burning and it's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's how Jamaicans are right now. We're just like, oh, we'll get through this. We'll make it through. Yeah.
Because you know what? It's like Bob Marley and tourism can only get you so far.
So far, and it's not really helping right now with most of the hotels and everything. It's just like, no, these guests aren't paying attention to quarantine or anything. So how are we doing this tourism
thing? Yeah, even with the news about the flight attendant that was...
The one that faced her kidnapping.
Yeah.
Having her cell phone.
Like, absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. I think that was a moment... Jamaicans kind of needed that to come together for that one thing. And now we are back to reality. So Jerrain, before we start, I just have one quick question. Of course, make sure you have your rum on hand. What's your favorite mango?
So I really love Julie mango. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. When I was younger, I didn't like mango. I know.
And you grew up in Manchester.
Yes. But I thought I didn't like mango when I was younger, and that was because a lot of the mangoes I would have would be very stringy and they would get stuck in my teeth, and I would cry a lot because I couldn't get them out. And I really loved the taste, but I didn't like the experience of having it. So for a long while I didn't have mangoes, but then I got introduced to Julie mangoes, and then those are just like the love of my life because they're soft, they don't get stuck in my teeth. Smoothies, they're so pretty.
Wait, yeah. And you're in Jamaica right now, so mango season is what, in April, end of April, early May?
I'll just start in like 2 or 3 months, yeah. But can I tell you, during quarantine, I don't even know what seasons are happening outside. Seriously, I went and I got a Jamaican apple the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, it's apple season. I forgot we were in that month of the year. The year just doesn't make any sense right now, but I'm really looking forward to mango season again. Yeah, big up to all the poets out there who write love poems for mangoes. Yeah.
Yeah, and we here at Mango Tea Podcast, we are the number one supporters of mangoes all the time. Even though we get the bad hand here because we're in New York, because I think last year they shipped Jamaican mangoes to New York, and it was like, for a dozen, it was $50 US. Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. And we were like, we considered it for 0.5 seconds. Absolutely not. Nope. No. So what we ended up doing, I called my uncle in Florida to complain about the $50 mangoes. And he actually bought Jamaican mangoes in Florida because they were super cheap. And he shipped it to me, and it was not even a quarter of the cost of the box. So yes, please eat them. Huh?
Because when mangoes out here stone and dog, and you have mangoes selling in New York for $50.
Listen, I need you to say a prayer and eat a mango.
I'll light a candle for you.
Okay, so abortions, Jamaica, COVID. What is happening? So I know what's happening. Can you tell my listeners of what is happening? And actually, let's backtrack. Abortion, JA, how did it get started?
Okay, so a few years ago, I think every couple of years, there's some discussion about abortions happening in Jamaica. It kind of feels like clockwork. It's something happens, the church says something, and then the politicians kind of shy away from it. And then you'll have the women's rights activists will say, oh no, abortion, my body, my choice. And then it dies down. And then it happens again in a few years. So it happened, last time it really happened was in 2017, and I was just tired of seeing the same discussions in the newspapers over and over, and it felt like no one was listening to each other. Mm-hmm. Nothing was getting done legally, nothing was getting done economically, like there was no change. It was just the discussions happening. So I kind of took a step back, and I was thinking, okay, there's a lot of talk happening, no one's listening. And the people that I thought needed to be part of the conversation, they weren't there at all. And those are the people who have actually had abortions in Jamaica. So the people who actually gone through this experience, I could not find any firsthand accounts of people who've had abortions in Jamaica, not in our archives, not in the hundreds, almost thousands of newspaper articles about abortions. I couldn't find anything online. It was very much an abstract and ideological discussion. And I thought that was kind of a waste of time because no one's listening to each other. Everyone's just kind of shouting over each other. Mm-hmm. So I created a blog and just asked people from my personal page, if you've had an abortion, you can write your story here and we can post it. Some people posted it with their names, but I decided to remove it just because of the legality of it. I wasn't clear about that. So they're all anonymous at the moment. And they're just stories from people who've had abortions. Mm-hmm. So we have a wide range of stories, people who were extremely sad about their abortions. A few people regretted it. Some people didn't regret it, but were still pretty sad about it. Some people thought it was the best thing they've ever done. They could move on with their lives. And it was just a wide range of stories. And I think these stories help humanize the discussions that we have. So it's not just an abstract somebody who won Dasho Dembele or an abstract somebody who was raped and needed an abortion. It's very much, these are actual people who have these experiences. And now that we know their story, should we keep this thing criminal? Should you risk going to prison for life because you have made this decision to have an abortion? So that's kind of the angle that I wanted to take with sharing these stories. And I didn't want to get involved in advocacy, if I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. it was just not something I really wanted to do. So I shared these stories. A few, I guess, professional advocates reached out to be able to also use these stories in the work that they're doing. And of course, I said, sure, please go ahead. That's what we need. We need this for dialogue. But then it died down. The conversation died down again. And I was disappointed. Yeah. I didn't feel like I could express that disappointment because I was like, did you really do enough to actually keep the conversation going? So earlier this year, out of the blue almost, the church decided, they kind of have their list of things that they're against. And I feel like sometimes it's just like, oh, we haven't been in the news for a while. Let's say something. So they decided to start again. Right? So they're just like, okay, we need to, the prime minister needs to, and I quote, rein in Juliet Cuthbert Flynn because she's pro-abortion and she wants to kill these babies, blah, 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 blah. And it was very, there are just so many layers of how wrong that is. It's the idea that a politician shouldn't be able to speak about something that they believe in. The idea of your male prime minister reigning in your female MP. It was just so ridiculous to me. And I was just like, nope, I need to put my head towards this thing. I'm going to be focusing on abortions, and I'm going to, as much as possible, ensure that we get more people involved in the discussions. Because I, again, the more people we have, the more range of stories, I believe that's how we're going to get something actually politically done. Mm-hmm. So in January, I did a call out through my book club and said, hey, are you tired about these abortion like arguments happening in the newspapers, the back and forth? Let's volunteer to put something together. So since January, now it's the end of February, we've been encouraging people to call their MPs to state their views about abortions. We are actually working on something now for people in the diaspora to be able to call their the consul generals to say, hey, I'm in the diaspora. I've heard about what's happening in Jamaica. I don't find this acceptable. We need this law changed. And just get more voices in it, because right now, a lot of politicians who are pro-choice, mm-hmm, are scared of saying that they are, because the church has such a loud voice. And maybe I shouldn't say the church. There is a large group of people who say that they represent the church who, mm-hmm, will come down on politicians for saying that they're pro-choice. There are also politicians who are pro-life but don't believe in the criminalization of abortion. So even if they don't believe in it, they also recognize that the law doesn't make any sense. We shouldn't have this law. So it's, how do we have these discussions happening, and how do we have politicians who are comfortable having these discussions, because they feel like this is what people actually want to discuss. So on February 19th, we, mm-hmm, encouraged a lot of people to start calling their politicians to say, hey, you're my MP, I need you to represent my view on this. And since February 19th, we've had 5 politicians who had never before voiced their opinion on abortions publicly say that they're pro-choice. That's great. We've had a few more who said that they're going to be doing consultations and talking about it. We haven't had anyone who has like firmly said, I believe that this law should stay. So we're trying to just have these conversations on one end with the politicians, but also have conversations with Jamaicans about the reality of what's happening. Because so many Jamaicans, they know that there is a law about abortions, but they don't know what the law says. And a lot of doctors are very much pro-choice, will perform abortions, are willing to, but the law prevents them from doing it. So we're doing it in a way that's very clear cut, to like, it's very under the table that happens. And then there's so many other, there's a lot of health risks that come with that. So I've just kind of been focusing these last 2 months in, okay, I am tired of hearing the same debates over and over. How do we find something that brings us closer to a solution? So even if you don't agree with me, because I am 110% have as many abortions as you need, the state, mm-hmm, should be paying. Like that, I am extremely pro-choice. Like, I am way out there. But I understand that there are people who won't be there with me. And how do I take a step back and say, okay, where's our middle ground? Is our middle ground at decriminalizing, which I think is a good first step?
Yeah.
How do we move forward? Because we've been having this conversation for centuries now. We need to move on.
It's interesting, because I feel like Jamaican society has always been like, because I remember growing up, it was like, down on me. Abortion is evil. Abortion is this. You're killing a human, mm-hmm, being. All of that. But people are still going to have abortions.
People are.
Yeah, you can tell. I think Jamaica has a very abstinence first kind of approach to sexual education. But people are still going to have sex. I mean, the 90s showed us that people are going to have sex. They just need to be properly educated. So I think we're at this. The pandemic has really like unveiled a lot of inequalities and inequities. And I think a lot of things are coming to the forefront. One of them being, of course, abortion in Jamaica. You've gotten pushback from the church. What was the most savage pushback you've gotten or received thus far?
Okay, so None of it has been direct. They have created a lot of troll accounts and they have been messaging. And let me take a few steps back. With the law itself, it's illegal it's criminal for you to get an abortion, attempt to have an abortion. Both of those things can land you in jail for life. For life. Yeah.
I did not know. Wow. For life.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's like maximum life sentence with or without hard labor. Additionally, if you help someone get an abortion or help someone try to get an abortion, and it's very broad language, so it can be medical, it can be just giving them information or anything like that, you can get up to 5 years in prison for helping someone to get an abortion. So ever since I've started this, I've gotten a lot of accounts that are very suspicious in terms of messaging me asking for help to get an abortion. And I'm just like,
interesting.
Yeah. So I don't want to go to jail. And I know that this is just a screenshot away. And I've seen historically where the church can use legal reasons to prove your point, and they will and can have thrown advocates in jail for things like this. So I've gotten some undercover accounts, which after you do a few digging, it's pretty obvious to see who it links back to. We have also seen that there have been a number of forums that have come up about abortion rights, that they've been doing online to online webinars. They did one on Zoom, which I don't think they would have counted as being successful because there were a lot of, I guess, counter trolls that would have happened in their chat responses. So a lot of pro-choice people were in the comments. There was another one that happened. So a lot of it has to be online, which I think is one good thing about the pandemic, is that it kind of created a bit of a level playing field for us. So it's not so much having the marches that they're very good at, getting people, galvanizing people to go and go do a march about things and pairing it with a lot of other things. So right now it's largely online, and we've been able to hold our own in terms of having a conversation. I've been trying to push the idea of dialogue a lot more, which is a bit hard because even people on, I guess, my side of the debate are tired of having these conversations, tired about talking about bodily autonomy. So I also get pushback from people who believe in pro-choice because they would much prefer having a very, I guess, a bit more firm response to the church instead of saying, yeah, let's have a discussion about decriminalization. It should just be, we don't want to hear it. We need to legalize this and move on. And it's my body, my choice, and which I 100% agree with, but they aren't going to come to the table with us to decriminalize this if we are telling them that we think their ideas are stupid or, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of trying to create that space, but also what I'm trying to do is bring as many people into the discussion as possible, which I do get pushback for because a lot of people would prefer that the discussion happens behind closed doors with people who are quote unquote qualified to have this discussion. And I don't agree with that because this affects so many Jamaicans beyond the privileged few and the privileged educated to have these discussions. Like, we need to all be involved and understand, okay, if we do change this law, this is why we're changing it. This is how it's going to be beneficial, because we can change the law and the stigma is still there. We can change the law and the prices of abortions are still high. We can change the law and people don't want to have it because there's still that association of being a Dashwa Belly yell or, you know, your womb is a tomb kind of thing. So I think as much as possible, we need to be open and transparent with having these discussions, which a lot of people see as slowing down the abortion discussion. But my argument is that they've been having closed door discussions from before I was born and nothing has changed. So maybe it's time that we change our tactics and get as many people involved in it as possible.
That's so interesting, because I remember, I think it was probably 2017, I think it was Pastor Holon. he came out and said if abortions are legal, he's going to commit suicide.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had some choice comments to say about that, but I'm not going to say it over the podcast because, you know, God already knows what's in my mind. I don't need God to put this on when I go to the gates to be like, hey, why did you...
Like, hey, do you remember saying this, Clay?
Like, these words came out of your mouth. But that's interesting. So no one from the church, no church leadership have reached out and be like, hey, let's have a conversation. None at all.
So there is one bishop who has been vocally pro-choice about a lot of things. But the thing is that one person, I guess, is kind of tokenized in terms of human rights. So they're always the one person who is very pro-LGBT, pro-choice. And I think it's become very easy for people to ignore his voice. And a lot of the people who are anti-abortions have multiple times called him atheist and antichrist, and they don't see him as legitimate. They don't see him as an actual believer or a Christian. So, which is again why I think it's important for the discussion to expand beyond the normal sphere of these yeah. 5 or 10 human rights advocates. It needs to be as many as possible Jamaicans who aren't career advocates, who aren't dedicating good amounts of their time to doing social justice work. They need to also be involved in the conversation, because since we've started this, we've heard from pastors or people, like someone tweeted to say that their dad is a pastor and he's very pro-choice and he even preached about it. And that is out in Trelawney. And he's not getting attention from the Gleaner or an Observer or any of these other media outlets. So for me, I think the change really comes from having people who aren't doing this for the limelight, who aren't involved in the media. That's where the change comes from. That type of attitude change towards abortion. That is where we're going to get something done. And then we can start thinking. And then it also makes it easier for the lawmakers to be like, oh, wait, there are lots of people who agree with this. We can actually do this and not have that kind of pushback.
So let's talk about the political girls, the politicians. So Lisa Hanna, of course, has been very vocal. Juliet Cuthbert
Glenn.
Yeah. She has been very vocal for the JLP, considering that the JLP, philosophically, mm-hmm. thank you, Jody, they are super conservative. So to have a politician say she's pro-choice and believes in abortion is amazing. What has been going on the political front? Like, again, every couple of years I hear this. I know Lisa Hanna is this. I know all of these things. What is happening? Because I am tired. You're tired. We're all tired.
So I think the philosophy of the different parties hasn't been very clear cut since probably the 80s. So whereas the JLP has said, the JLP's leadership has previously said that they're conservative, it's a type of conservatism that preaches personal responsibility, which mm-hmm. I find very interesting, because abortion comes under personal responsibility. So it's very easy for, in my opinion, if the JLP wants to take the conservative route in terms of what they do, it's a lot of it has to do with your own political will and your bodily autonomy is something that fits in line with their philosophies. However, we must understand that a lot of our laws, if we're going to be honest, don't have that clear liberal conservative type of agenda that we see in the US. It's a lot more nuanced than that, and oftentimes a lot more driven by personal interests than we want to admit. So politically, what I found interesting was that by the end of the day on the 19th, when we were calling politicians, there are a lot more PNP representatives saying that they're pro-choice. Yeah. And I was like, something is happening here. And I realized very quickly that a lot of PNP representatives, as much as I wholeheartedly welcome them in terms of being vocal about it, it is a political play for them. They've realized that being pro-choice does not have the same effect as it would have 10 years ago. So they can still galvanize some sort of support while in opposition by being pro-choice, because the effect on their party isn't as direct as someone who is in power right now.
Yeah.
Which also goes back to a lot of JLP political representatives who are pro-choice but don't feel comfortable saying it because the leadership of the party hasn't said something yet or hasn't been clear as to what their stance is or hasn't recently been clear. Andrew Holness has been pro-life before, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that was when he was much younger. Yeah. So we're not sure if that has changed over the years, but he hasn't said anything yet. So I can see that a lot of other representatives are hesitant to make their stance clear. Mm-hmm. So even if they'll say it to us on the phone, they'll say that they're pro-choice personally. And it's good to hear that there are people in their constituency who want to have this discussion, but they need more direction from the leadership, or they need to have more consultations with their constituents to ensure that if I say this, I won't be losing the next election because I say something like this. So there is a lot of politics at play, and it frustrates me a lot because this should have never been a political issue. This should have never been in the law. It should never have been something that the government or the state controls. But we are here now. We have this law. It's time for us to get rid of it, because really, even if you personally don't want to ever have an abortion, that should not be a decision that the government makes for you.
Yeah. So how do we get there? How do we start the conversation? I mean, we have bipartisan support, public bipartisan support by two prominent members of both parties. How do we plow forward?
I think going forward, I definitely think people need to talk, and I mean regular people need to be having this conversation. I'm encouraging people to talk to your family, talk to your friends, ask them, hey, mama, what do you think about abortions? Or all of these things. Like, it's interesting because a lot of people are expecting a certain response that they don't get, whether it goes left or right, or they don't know. It's always an interesting discussion to have. And then from there, have the discussion about, okay, this is where I personally am. This is where the law is. And usually those things are very far apart. Crossing my fingers, I have not met anyone who has said, oh, that law makes sense. You should totally go to jail for life for having an abortion. Mm-hmm. Crossing my fingers, I haven't met them yet. But having these discussions, I think, are very important. I think the bipartisan support is going to come from a lot of it, because regular people have these opinions and want to see the law changed. I think a lot of politicians, when we did the calls, they didn't know that it was their role to bring up laws that they don't agree with. Yeah, you're giving me this look right now, which is just hilarious. But a lot of politicians don't know their duties in terms of bringing new laws. A lot of them see it as, well, this law is up for review now. We'll go through the motions and I'll fix the roads. I'll have my constituency day. But the idea of bringing up new laws to have them changed, that was just not in their purview at all. So we need to also, which says to me that as Jamaicans, we have really gotten comfortable with the idea of a democracy and not so much exercising it. So many people up until that day had never spoken to their MPs, have never even thought that, oh, I can call them and tell them I need something, or I can send them an email and say, hey, this is my position on it. So I think the abortion thing is one tiny part of how we function as Jamaicans in our society. It's, if you have an issue with something in the law, you should be able to talk to your representative about it and have this changed. It's a very simple process, but we often forget and pretend that the state is something other than who we are. Mm-hmm. So once we recognize that we are the ones who make decisions as Jamaicans, as regular people, we're the ones who influence or should influence these decisions, then we can start having, okay, I don't care if you are PNP or JLP, I don't care which side of the bench you sit on or anything like that. This is what I need to be done. This is what needs to change. And this is where we have these discussions. But I think we've gotten comfortable with giving up our power every 4 years for the election and then sitting back and watch what they do with it. And then we make a decision. I think it's time for us to just get more involved, even if it's frustrating, even if it's annoying, but we do need to practice living in a democracy instead of just pretending that everything is fine.
And it's so wild because I think people don't realize that it's your money. They're using stealing your money. They're using your money. They work for you, not the other way around. You should.
Yeah, tax season is coming up, so I think everyone needs to remind themselves that we're paying them.
I was talking to a relative, and they were like, you know, my family, they're from rural Hannibal. Like, the roads, it's not a road anymore, it's gravel at this point. So I'm like, how long have you been supporting the ruling party? They're like, oh, 40 years. It's longer than I've been alive. I was like, wait, that's insane. And you've been paying taxes for 40 years and your road's like this? Like, yay. You know, so them teeth, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. I feel like Jamaicans have become comfortable with mediocrity.
And that's
a problem. And mediocrity is acceptable. And that's a problem. For us being such a fierce, talented, creative people and
our government. We expect the bare minimum from the people that we elected. And it's gotten to the point where a lot of politicians, when we're doing the calls, people reported back that politicians didn't want to hear from them if they weren't on the voters list. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Even if you're not on the voters list, I'm still your constituent. I'm still here. And we've just gotten so comfortable with that, that even the politicians themselves know that they can get away with the mediocrity. So for me, this highlighted so many issues we have in our democracy. And something as simple as changing a ridiculous law that was made in the 1800s that doesn't apply to us should not be this difficult when we live in a liberal democracy. And I need people, and when I gave the instructions into terms of how do you get involved in this discussions, a lot of people are like, oh, but what if the pro-life people use the methods that you have and they start contacting their MPs? I'm like, they should. Like, we are in a democracy. This is how it works. I mean, obviously, I would love for us to come up with a solution that's beneficial to everyone, which is the common sense solution, which is don't throw people in prison for having an abortion. But at the end of the day, I think everyone on both sides of the argument, even if you don't care about abortions, we have become so comfortable with the idea that something is the law, which means that it can't change, which means that it's not up to us to decide what's happening. And I would love for us to have these broader discussions. I feel like Jamaica, the argument that we're a young nation doesn't cut it anymore. Like, we're almost 60 years old. We're big people now. We need to really decide that we're doing this nationhood thing properly.
If you as a nation can drink and smoke, you can do so much more.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So what can the diaspora do? You mentioned before that you were working on an initiative to have the diaspora be more involved. What can we do?
Okay, so we hopefully by the time this podcast episode is out, we will have a blog with instructions for all the major consul generals that you can contact to say, hi, this is happening in Jamaica. I am in the diaspora. This is how I feel about this law, and can you please pass this on to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or anyone who is needed in Parliament to change this, to have it changed? Because as a member of the diaspora, I think this is ridiculous. Yeah. I'm gonna make it sound a bit better, but that's generally the gist of it. But definitely, people in the diaspora, we've been encouraging people from the diaspora to get involved in Jamaica economically. which is great. But I think we also need to have them involved socially and politically as well. I think just give me your money is not enough. When it comes to developing a nation, we need to have the diaspora actually involved in shaping our nation. And that goes beyond the pockets. It goes into the social and the political life that we have here. That's the angle I'm coming at it from, because I know typically when people approach the diaspora, it's always, give me your money. I was like, I'm not sure they have more to offer. And there's so much for us to learn. I see the mistakes that have happened with abortion rights in the US, and I would like for us not to repeat that. But there's also things we can learn that have gone right in the US. There are things that have also been mistakes in the UK, which I see a lot of people leaning towards here in terms of what we should do. And I was like, no, we can do better. We don't need to aim for what happens in the US and the UK. We can imagine something that actually is inclusive and actually works for everyone. Not because it's happening in foreign means that that should be our model. We can actually create something better.
And you know what? That is an episode for another podcast for us, for the entire region, because that's something that it's always
important.
There's US and UK, they're interesting, they're fine. They had issues and they had successes, but it's not our issues and success, and probably what we can come up with is way better. But
So that's where I kind of want to approach this from. With the diaspora, this is what's happening here, but we can make it better for Jamaica, because I care about Jamaica. As a member of the diaspora, this is what I want. So it's not just send me something through Western Union. It's politically and socially, this is what's going to happen.
And this goes along with other struggles happening across other...
Definitely. I think, again, a lot of it just goes into we've gotten so comfortable with the idea of our democracy just running on autopilot.
Yeah.
So I really hope that what I would like is, even if the abortion discussion doesn't happen as quickly as I'd want, I would have created some sort of templates for other people to follow. Regardless of what your issue is, you can still go back and say, oh, this is applicable if it is something that I want to do with disability rights, if this is something that I want to do in other areas of, we can use this to say, okay, they can contact their MPs. If you're in the diaspora, you can do that, that kind of thing. I want more people to be engaged. I'm passionate about abortion rights, so this is kind of where I'm putting my energy, but I want the templates to kind of work beyond that. I know this is going to sound contrarian to what I just said, but if you want to donate to Abortion Jamaica, you can do that as well. So abortionjamaica.com, you can go on and click support us. There's a donate button that you can do one-time or monthly donations. Or if you want to volunteer, we do have people in the diaspora who are helping us with social media posts, who are helping us craft also the storytelling that we're doing. So if you want to volunteer in that end, especially with research that we're doing, you can do that as well. If you click support us, there's a form there as well that you can get involved in. So that's how it is. This is what I'm doing with my time.
Again, you're doing
we don't have any funding at all. We're not an official NGO. We don't have $1 million grant sponsorships or anything like that. It's just us as volunteers who want to get something done. We want to see actual tangible change, and we don't want to give our power to someone else and hope that they do the change. It's very much, how do we get our hands on and get this thing done?
And it's interesting, because that's a lot of the political parties started throughout the region. They started as local small advocacy groups, trade unions, and then they blow up to what we have to do.
I don't know what you're trying to push here, but I'm just trying to get something done.
Okay.
And go back to reading.
Okay, I have one last question. What's your favorite tea?
So I drink a lot of tea. I have a huge cupboard full of tea. So when you asked that, when you said that this is going to be a question, I was just like, I have no clue what to say.
Okay, what's your top five?
Oh my, I can't even do that. Okay, so I can do teas by moods.
Okay, okay.
Let's put them to actual tea, like what the world considers tea, and then like herbal infusions.
Okay.
So like a morning herbal infusion that I love. I love lemongrass. I love like freshly picked lemongrass, no sugar added. That is just the perfect way for me to start my morning. So lemongrass or fever grass, whatever you want to call it, that's amazing morning for me. I also like globally, I like white teas. There's this company called Liquid Tea locally, and I have a lot of their tea products. So shop local. So they sometimes do special blends for us at Rebel Women Lit, inspired by books that we read. So I love every month we get these new interesting blends. There's one that they do now, which is Portland Bliss, that I am almost out of. I love. In terms of a nighttime thing, I love ginger. I love a ginger infusion at the end of the day. Again, no sugar added kind of person. I can go on and on about tea. We could have a whole discussion about tea because green teas are also my thing. I love a midday chai to like when I need a caffeine boost, that really helps. And matcha. I love matcha. I can go on and on and on.
Oh yeah. Next time we come to Jamaica, me and my co-host, we should have tea.
We have a whole cupboard of tea. So yeah. We'll have
tea. Tea and mango. That's it.
Tea and mangoes. I also make some guisadas as well and maybe some grater cake. We'll have fun.
Yeah, you know what? There's a store in I'm not gonna say it because my sister will. There's a store in Kingston that sells amazing items. It's within a tourist attraction in Kingston, and they sell a lot of little interesting things. One of the things I got from there was rum salt, which was amazing. I feel like you may know the store I'm talking about, but I don't want to say it because my sister will murder me. But yes, I'll bring down some rum salt and we can enjoy.
I think I know where you're talking, but yeah.
We went to get something in particular that's super popular because a blogger posted it on their feed, and it went like wildfire. And we bought the last bottle there, and it was the best thing I've ever had.
To be quite honest, every time I visited that store, you have to go really early because they stock very limited amount. And I'm just like, is this a marketing tool or is it because you don't want things to get spoiled? But it's a nice store. It's a nice store. Yeah.
An amazing store. We spent a lot of money in that particular a lot of money. But I don't think we'll be going to Jamaica for a while because of COVID and everything. But yeah. But we will be there. We will be in Jamaica, hopefully by next year. We'll see.
When everyone's vaccinated and we can travel freely. And hopefully by then the law has changed, so we'll have something to celebrate.
Yes. Yes, we love a celebration. We love rights. We love equal rights. Okay.
Right.
thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you. Again, we are 100% supporters of Abortion JA, and we will be sharing links on our social media page on how to find Abortion Stand and how to support this amazing movement.
Thank you so much, and thanks to everyone listening who are in support, and please reach out. If you have any ideas, please share them. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Mango Tea Podcast and, of course, sipping tea with us. Like this episode, download, and most importantly, share. Follow us on all social media at Mango Tea Podcast. And, of course, don't forget your mango.